Dear saints, you know one of the reasons why that is so comforting, what we just sung? Because you are surrounded by so much in your life that convinces you of the exact opposite. You are surrounded by your sin, and that convinces you that it is not well. You are surrounded by sickness and death and sorrow. Oh, it is so easy to be convinced that it is not well. And the only thing that we can cling to is the promise that your Jesus is with you, that he forgives you, that he loves you. The only thing that you can cling to is the promise that your Lord is faithful and that he remembers his mercy. And with that, you can say it is well. Should I be done with the sermon now? I really want to get to this gospel text where this woman is coming and Jesus keeps saying no to her. And she keeps coming because it's really fascinating. It's really comforting for us in our prayer life and our spiritual life. But first, I want us to consider something from the epistle. So if you want, you can pull out your bulletin, the epistle, that 1 Thessalonians text. This epistle calls our Lord something that I don't think we often think of. Verse 6 says that the Lord is an avenger. And I want that to cause us fear. Because that's the point. This epistle, it goes on, verse 3, it says, "This is the will of God, your sanctification." You want to know what the will of God in your life is? It is a call to your holiness. It is a call to your purity. A call to make you clean. This epistle calls us to abstain from sexual immorality. That wives should honor and love their husbands and keep the marriage bed pure. That husbands should sacrifice and love their wives and keep the marriage bed pure. That we should all uphold marriage, love marriage, for it is a beautiful gift from God. That we should abstain from sexual immorality with our eyes and with our thoughts and with our mouths. And we are simply surrounded by sexual immorality. It goes on to call us to control our body. A body that is prone to laziness. A body that is prone to abuse of the food and of the drink that our Lord gives as gifts. A body that is prone to abuse of drugs. Our Lord calls us not to give in to passions. Not to transgress or to wrong our brother. Our passions that rise up within us when we are hurt. That rise up within us to call us to anger. That call us to gossip. This is the passion that we have within us. It is not a good passion. It is an evil passion. And it doesn't say that you're supposed to stay away from these things because the Lord doesn't like them. Or because the Lord thinks it's second class and not first class. It says we're to stay away from these things because the Lord is an avenger. That is, he calls for justice. Our sins call for justice. They are crimes against him. They are crimes against our neighbors. They are crimes against ourselves, and our Lord is an avenger. And you know what Scripture does when it's calling us to consider this thing? It doesn't control us. Verse 1 of this says, "Finally, brothers, we ask and we urge you." It doesn't control you. The Lord doesn't control you. He asks you. And if somebody asks you, you can ignore them. If somebody is urging you to do something, you can ignore. You can do it. You can ignore this. You can choose not to do this. You don't have to listen to this. This is up to you, partially. The Lord calls you to faith that is a complete conversion of you. But after you have been called to faith, this is partially up to you. You can shut your ears. You can say, "That's not what I want to hear. I don't think that's what's best. I think I know what's best for me." You ask, I'm going to ignore. You urge, I'm going to ignore. The Lord demands, but he doesn't control you. You can ignore this. And the reason I wanted to start there is because for our Christian life, for our prayer for life, there is only two things that we need to consider. Very simple. It's only two things. Consider your need. How you doing on that? Everything that this calls you to do, how you doing on that? I'm failing miserably. Consider your need. Because this is what brings the woman to Jesus. She knows her need. Our gospel lesson says this. This is verse 22. "Behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out crying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon.'" When you are called to consider what you are to pray for, you are called to consider not only your need, but the need of others. What drives this woman to Jesus is her need, because she is absolutely helpless to help her daughter out. How many people in your life do you have that you are absolutely helpless? You can do something here, you can do something there, but for the most part, what can you do? Consider your need and the needs of others. And this woman realizes something about her daughter that is so important. It's so important for us to recognize. She recognizes that the things that we have in this life, they are not only a physical battle, they are also a spiritual battle. She realizes that the thing that is afflicting her daughter is a demon. You know, physical things are not just physical. They are also spiritual. Like, can bodily sickness, can exhaustion that you experience in your life, can pain or the bodily needs of others, do those sometimes cause you to doubt God's provision for you? Or can it cause you to be scared? To be anxious. Do the sexual sins that we commit with our body, do they simply stay with our body? Or do they hurt our soul as well? Does drinking too much only hurt the body? Does eating too much only hurt the body? Do the sins that we commit our mouths simply stay with our mouths, or do they hurt other people's souls? Our Lord's call, this is why this epistle is so amazing. Our Lord's call to holiness is not only in the soul, it is with the body, because they are intimately connected with each other. This woman realizes that the physical ailments that her daughter is experiencing, they are not only physical, they are spiritual. And we are called to consider the same things. If Satan can have your body, he has not won. Consider Job. He gets Job's body, and he doesn't win. Just don't kill him, God says. This woman, she knows her need. Do you? Your sins, your guilt, your failures, your sickness, your despairing, your anxiety, your depression, your family. Do you know them? All too well, right? But if you stop there, then you don't get Christianity. If you just stop right there, you don't get faith. This woman knows her need, but she also knows her Jesus. And that's what drives us to prayer. That's what drives us here. You know your need, and you know why you come here. You come to receive help. You come to hear something that is so foreign to you that it is well with you, that your Lord loves you. And this woman's faith is to be emulated. She knows her need and she knows her Jesus. And she comes, and do you know what she hears over and over again? She hears the answer to her prayer, and it is no. Look at this. Verse 25. She came and knelt before him saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." He calls her a dog. But do you know what faith does? When faith is called something by Jesus, it says yes to it. Jesus comes along and he insults her, and she says, "Yes, Lord." Then give me what a dog deserves. Crumbs from the master's table, and that'll be more than enough. Does that make sense? Isn't that crazy? He calls her a dog, and she says, "Yeah. And if you're the good master that I know you are, then I get crumbs from you." And that, dear Lord, that is more than enough. So when the Bible comes along and insults you, your answer is yes. Then give me what the rest of the Bible says. When the Bible comes along and calls you unclean, you know what you respond? You say, "Yes, of course I am. But you have come to create in me a clean heart." When you come dirtied with your sin, you say, "Yes, Lord, I know that. But you have taken all of my dirtiness, all of my impurity. You have taken upon the Lord's wrath, everything that I have deserved. You have soaked it in yourself, and you have died with it and risen from the dead to declare me pure." When the Bible comes along and calls you helpless, then you say, "But where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord." When the Bible comes along and says that you are dying, then you say, "Yes, I am. But you, Jesus, are the firstborn from the dead. Because you're the firstborn, you take me with you. You've promised that too. Faith always says yes to God, even when it's an insult. Because when you get the insult right, you also get the promise. Know your need. And know your Jesus. This woman realizes that even crumbs from her Jesus is more than enough. And today, dear saints, he gives you much more than crumbs. He gives you himself. He gives you his word. And he gives you his body to eat. And his blood to drink. He has so much more for you than crumbs. And that is our peace. And faith simply says, Amen.